A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Erevin Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, 21b, pagination page 42. A piece of Gemara which is in the wide lines, the medium wide lines, about midway in the middle of a line. Tanu Rabbanon is where we will start. The topic of Erevin generally is a topic of Dirabbanans, of rabbinic legislation, largely. And it brings up the topic of what role and how serious is a Dirabbanan, a item of rabbinic legislation. Now, sometimes rabbinic legislation is in order to protect the Torah law, and protecting the Torah law is described by the Mefarshim the way you protect anything that's very important to you. Asu siyog la Torah, when you make a fence around the Torah, Rabbeinu Yonah Enavo says, that's when you really see Yira Shamayim, your fear of heaven. If something's really important to you, so you protect it. You don't just leave it to chance. Maybe it'll be preserved, maybe not. I give the analogy, a person who really wants to make sure that he wakes up for a very important appointment, so he might set more than one alarm clock, because it's just this very important to him. And that's the protection the Maharal describes that our eyes have. Hashem created that there's a special bone to protect the eye, and an eyelid, and special tears, all kinds of methods to make sure that the eye functions well, because the eye is enormously important. And that's how it is with anything that's very important, and that is definitely one type of Dirabbanan, where we have certain safeguards. You think about in the kosher home, as a quick example, even though mixing milk and meat, the real prohibition, biblically, would be cooking them together, but rabbinically, there's a lot of other things that are prohibited, to the point that our custom is totally different dish racks, even when the plate is clean. After washing the dishes, we dry them in separate dish racks. We keep everything separate because we don't want to risk having things mixed up, because this is a mitzvah that's really, really, it's important to us. There is another type of Dirabbanan, rabbinic legislation, which is so logical that it's actually assumed to be the intent of Hashem that we should do it. It's considered a mitzvah Dirabbanan much more than just a safeguard, and it actually can be deduced. It's not just a safeguard of biblical, it can be deduced from Torah law. Examples of this are attributed to Shlomo HaMelech, Eruvin, and Netilas Yadayim, certain aspects of cases of Eruvin, and washing hands before eating bread. And these are considered high-level Dirabbanans rather than simply safeguards. And there is a degree of difference, certainly in the way we understand what the source of the mitzvah is. Our Gemara relates a story about Rabbi Akiva and his enormous commitment to a Dirabbanan, a rabbinic law. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned. Maisa b'Rabbi Akiva, there was a story about Rabbi Akiva, Shayachovash b'Vesu Asurim, that he was in jail. One could conjecture that this was the jailing at the end of his life before he was executed. V'ayah Rabbi Yeshua Agarsi Misharso, b'chol yom v'yom, ha'yimachnisim l'mayim b'mida. Rabbi Yeshua Agarsi would service him, and every day would bring him in the water that he needed. Yom echad matzo shom b'Vesu Asurim, one day, the guard of the jail saw him. Amalo, hayom emecha merubim. Today you're taking in too much water. Shemalachta besu asura mata tzarech. Maybe you're trying to use the water to make the dirt of the jail soft so that you could somehow tunnel your way out. So you can imagine, he's got one jug of water. The guy is offended that he's got too much water. What's he going to do with so much water? Shafach etzion, he poured out half the water. V'nasan lo chetzion, and he let him take in half of the water to Rabbi Akiva. Kishabaitza Rabbi Akiva, he came into Rabbi Akiva. Amalohu, he said to him, Yeshua, inata yadin shazakinani, don't you realize I'm an old man? V'chaye teluyim b'chayecho, and my life depends on your support. How could it be that you brought me so little water? So he told him the story about the guard. Amalo, he said to him, Tenli mayim, give me the water, she'etol yadai, I'm going to wash my hands. Amalo, he said to him, Lishtos ein magiyin, there's not enough water in order to drink, to sustain you. Lito yadcha magiyim, and you're going to use it to wash your hands? Amalo, Rabbi Akiva said, Ma'esa, I have no choice. What can I do? Shechayovim aleyem misa. Because to wash your hands beforehand is an obligation. It's a serious thing. It's a dirabonon. Mutav amos misas atzmi. Better I should die. Dehydrate. For lo ever al das chaveirai. And I should not violate a rabbinic legislation. Amru, they said, Lo ta'am klom. This was the legend. This was the story of the way it was related on the street. Rabbi Akiva did not eat anything. He wouldn't use the water. Not he can't. He doesn't have enough. Achehevi le'mayim, until they brought him enough water for Natal Yadav, and he was able to wash his hands properly. The original hunger strike, I guess, without any intention to do so. He just said, I have no choice. And they brought him more water. Kishashamu chachamim bedavar, when the chachamim heard the story, Amru, they said, Ma bizaknuso kach. When he was old, this is the way he behaved. Biyalduso alachas kama v'kama, in his youth, how much more so? Oma beveso asurim kach, and if he behaved like this in a jail, with other difficulties, a lot of stress, Shalobavesu Asur Malachas Kama Vakama, how much more so he would serve Hashem, he did serve Hashem when he had the liberty to do so. Now the word Bialduso is worthy of comment. Rabbi Akiva did not become truly, truly diligent in mitzvah observance until after he started studying Torah diligently. V'lo ama'aretz chosid, and Rabbi Akiva is described as an ama'aretz until the age of 40. So the question is, what did the Gemara mean when it says be'alduso alachas kama v'kama? We can conjecture what he was in his youth. Is that true? Does that really prove to be a valid extrapolation? So Rabbi Akiva was 120 when he was executed. So Bialduso in his youth on such a person could be his yeshiva days, when he was in the high school class, even though he was in his 40s at the time. Another approach might be that we find by Hespedim that you're not allowed to exaggerate. It's not good to exaggerate. It's actually bad for the deceased to start saying eulogies that have no relationship. It's like taunting him. You tell a person who gave a certain amount of tzedakah, and this man gave millions. It doesn't make any sense. It's embarrassing. If he was capable of giving millions, it's actually an accusation why he didn't give the millions. But you're allowed to exaggerate a little bit. What does it mean, a little bit? So the Mefarshim say, because had he been in a position to do it, this amount, he would have for sure done more. In other words, he's a good-hearted man. So if the opportunity would have presented itself, and he wouldn't have had the different challenges of life, a little bit more, he for sure would have done. He had machshavos tovos, he wanted to do more good. So you could praise him for that, because in heaven, even though they put obstacles in his way, but he for sure would have done it. Perhaps what's being said over here is Rabbi Akiva went from being such an ordinary person to being such an awesome, saintly person, that what they're saying is, at this point in life, imagine this type of person, if he would have had more youthfulness to him, if he'd be a younger, stronger person, what kind of mitzvahs he would do. And it's that type of extrapolation that life is getting in his way. He started off as an ignorant person. He was a shepherd. He worked it through. By the time he worked it through to the point that you see his greatness, imagine what he would have been in his youth. But again, either way, they took note of Rabbi Akiva's enormous commitment to what is listed here as a mitzvah derabbanon. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, B'shashatikin Shlomo Eruvin u'Netilas Yadayim, when Shlomo legislated Eruvin and Netilas Yadayim, those two mitzvahs, Yatzis Abasko v'Amra, a voice came out from heaven and said, B'ni im chacham libcha yismach libi gamani, you're wise, you've arrived at the correct conclusion that these indeed were mitzvahs that were intended that they could be extrapolated from given Torah. The Maharal in one section explains how it is extrapolated, but it's not a regular derabbanon simply as a safeguard. These are intrinsically derabbanons, which are extensions of Torah. And we have a glimpse here into Rabbi Akiva's perspective of, even though it's a mitzvah derabbanon, he still went all out to try to observe it. And we have to know in practical halacha exactly how far a person is expected to go. Yeshe koach, have a great day.